Okay, you can be seated today. No, you can stand. Let's just go ahead and do that. You can stand today. Everybody stand up if you would. How many already feel like you've had a meal? You feel like you already had a meal today? Isn't the Lord good? Well, let's get a little lanyap today and icing on your cake. Yesterday we were eating, what were we eating? We were eating Domino's pizza. We got some chicken wings. And Ben likes the blue cheese, and I like the ranch to dip mine in. And I dipped it in, and it was thick, you know. And I realized it must be old. You know, sometimes, you know, it must be old. What, did I quit dipping? No, I just kept right on dipping. I said, you know what, won't kill me, will make me stronger. And so I just kept eating it, and then realized they sent us some, after about halfway through, I said, you know, this tastes funny for some reason, because the chicken wings were the hot kind. He liked the hot kind, he had the hot kind. And then I realized they had sent us some cinnamon, we had some cinnamon sticks, and it was the icing for the cinnamon sticks. I must be getting old, come on somebody. I didn't realize it. I was halfway through. I thought, I have made something new. I'm going to send that in, make $1 million off of it. It toned down the hot, chicken wings. All right, Revelation chapter 22. The one who does wrong, still do wrong. And the one who is filthy, still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy, still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I want to talk to you today, the idea that he's coming. Would you say that with me? He's coming. I thought about he's coming quickly, but I just want to use that one thought. He's coming. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, we thank you for not just knowledge, but for revelation. We pray that you would open our eyes and our ears, Lord, that we would grab it again in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Man, you can be seated. I'm moving my office, part of it over to the church and part of it to another part of my house. Since my kids are gone, I get to, grab all the bedrooms that they once occupied. And so I'm taking one of the bedrooms in the house. And I went across, I came across a book by W.E. Blackstone, that was written around the turn of the century called Jesus is Coming, or He's Coming. And the key was that many of the truth was it had been lost to that generation that he was coming. And I want to talk to you today about he's coming. And the Bible says he's coming quickly. Everybody say quickly. His return is going to be sudden. It's not going to be a prolonged affair. Revelation 3 says this. The angel of the church of Sardis writes, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this. I know your deeds. Everybody say deeds. I know your deeds, I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. Wake up, strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed or accomplished. I have not found your deeds completed. That was, the writer of Revelation wrote and said, there are things that I gave you to do that you've not finished doing. There's deeds I wanted you to do. And I want to use it this week is in this realm. There are people I want you to reach that you've not reached yet. There are people that I put in your path for you to speak with your mouth or your life or your action that you've not reached yet. You've not gone there yet. I've not found your deeds completed. I've not found you. There are people, you've gotten complacent. You've gotten satisfied. You've gotten enjoyable with what you've gotten. And you enjoy your salvation. But you've not given it to someone else. There's a starving world outside the gates. And you are enjoying the feast. But you've not taken any of the food to those that are starving. I've not found your deeds completed before God. There are things that I want you to do, but time is running out. Look at verse 3. So remember what you've received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a what? I'll come like a thief, and you will not know the hour that I came. How many has ever been robbed at night? Let's see, how many has ever been robbed at night? You had no idea when the thief was coming at night. Jesus said, if you don't wake up, I will come to you as a thief.
Now, in other words, the concept of a thief is that you will lose something. That you is people who were not ready at his coming. And so he came as a thief. So in terms of his coming, you lost. His coming will produce a loss in you because you're not ready for it. You're not prepared for it. You've gotten satisfied. You've gotten set down in your ways. The allegory is that you're going to lose something. The good thing is, if you're watching for his coming, he doesn't come to you as a thief. He comes to you as a bridegroom. Come on, somebody. He comes to you as someone you're anticipating. He comes to you as somebody. It's like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Therefore, because I'm living that way, to die is gain. But if I'm living for money, then to die is what? Is loss, because I can't earn any more of it. If for me to live is pleasure, then dying is loss, because I can't pleasure anymore. But if living is Christ, then dying is gain. So you're not going to lose in that day. But if you're living for whatever, and you're not living for Christ, and you're not watching for him, then he comes upon us as a thief in terms of it's a loss. It's not a gain, it's a loss. And so here he's not coming to us, as I said, as a thief. And I like what it says in Revelation 3. It says, you have a few. Everybody say few. How many is a few? Depends on, you know, if you have a billion people, then a few can be. But if you have a few hundred people, then a few. If you have a few thousand people, then a few. If you have a few ten. So what is a few means there's only a few people. And so listen what it said here. The angel says, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me, for they are worthy. Now watch this. You have a few people. And you need to understand that, because it says there's a few people in the congregation that's still praying. There's a few people that are still loving you. There's a few people that are doing this. You got to get this in your heart. Never listen to the concept, hey, you want to go do such and such, because everybody's doing it. No, there's a few people not doing that. Well, I think it'd be okay to go because I saw so-and-so. So I think everybody. No. There's a few people still not doing that kind of stuff. And what happens is, never look at the majority, because you know in the Bible, majority mostly were wrong. Everybody's doing, no, not everybody is doing that. Well, it's okay because, not everybody. There are a few people that have not spoiled their garments that the Bible says will be worthy to walk with him in white. It's a few people that's waiting for his returning. There's a few people that still have their eyes toward the sky that know he's coming at any time. There's a few people still. I remember growing up, one of the things that were taught all the time was Jesus might come today. Jesus might come before you even go to sleep tonight. Jesus might come before you wake up. And so what happens is you always were ready. I remember when I first got saved, ever so often I'd look up just to make sure he wasn't coming right then. And what happened, so you got to get that. You come to, in verse 3 it says this. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, but they were saying peace and safety. Then destruction will come upon them. How quick? Suddenly, because he's coming quickly. Suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child. How many of you have ever had labor pains? Let's see your hands. No men are raising their hands. I'm just doing that. But what happens was, you didn't know when it was coming. You might have been eating. How many of you were at a restaurant when the labor pains came? Let's see your. Nobody. You don't take your women out enough. Come on. How many were at home when the labor pains came? How many were in bed when the labor pains came? How many were in the kitchen when the labor pains came? How many? Well, some of you, they came all kinds of times, right? Carolyn's had 52 kids already. So I mean, she's had labor pains everywhere. But it didn't matter, because you could have been anywhere and labor pains hit. Because when Jesus said, that's the same way he's coming. You don't know, you might be at the mall, you might be in the bed, you may be in the house, you may be at a restaurant. You don't know when the labor pains are going to hit. And so he said, you don't know when I'm coming. Suddenly, like old labor pains upon a woman with child, they will not escape. It's going to come suddenly upon us, over and over. You know what happens is this. Verse 4, I like what it says. It says, brethren, but you brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Isn't that great for us? That day is not going to be a loss for us. It's going to be a gain for us. That day is going to be a day when we're looking. He says, it's not going to be a loss. It's not going to overtake you like a thief. Look at verse. For you are sons of the light and sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. So let us not sleep as others do. Now watch this. Don't go to sleep like the others. Do not go to sleep. And the word others there means, the Greek word means the remaining ones. Don't go to sleep like the ones that are going to be left behind. Because if you do, the Bible says it will come upon you. Sardis said it will come upon you like a thief. You'll be living every day. You're consumed with this. And so what happens is, do not be left behind. Do not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. That others in the Greek means don't be like those that are going to be left behind, the remaining ones on the scene. I'm going to tell you something. The remaining ones are those who literally have known darkness in their life and are living that and thinking it's okay. Look what Luke says. Watch this one. It says, be on guard that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come upon you suddenly. Did you know you can get weighted down with bills and with kids in school and activities and you name it, and you can get caught up to where that day will come upon you like a trap. You'll get caught up in stuff, and suddenly you'll stop thinking about the coming of the Lord. And suddenly it's like you don't even think the master is coming. And so you begin to beat your servants and your manservants. You begin to live in the worries of this world, and you begin to think about all the thinking about. And so your life is consumed, and that day will come upon you like a thief in the night. And so it writes here, and he says this. Luke says, be on guard. Jesus said, be on guard that your hearts be not weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and worries of life, so that they will not come upon you like a trap. Everybody say amen today. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times. This is Jesus praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. He says, pray that you be on the alert. Stay on the alert. Keep going. You let God be the priority of your life. And you get to know that, because what happens is this. You need to know that God is not just a part of your life. You know, you've got your work day, you've got your work week, you've got your weekends, and then Sundays you set aside for Jesus. Let me tell you, if that's the way your life is patterned, then you are going to lose when He comes back. He's got to be the same God on Monday as He is on Sunday. Come on, somebody. You got to love Him. You got to be looking for Him. You can't go on Friday night and Saturday night and drag into church because you spent all Saturday night or Friday night laid up in some already. Come on, somebody. Because there's, well, everybody, no, not everybody is doing that. There's a few people still walking in white. Come on. There's a few that's still looking for the Lord. There's a few that's still doing that. So what happens is, He says, you keep on the alert at all times. Let me ask you, you know anybody that used to be on fire for God and they're no longer on fire for God? Why don't you bring them next Sunday morning? Why don't you reach out to them? Why don't you invest in their life? Why don't you fill up your lifeboat next Sunday morning? Now, I like this because, as I said, when I was growing up, they used to make movies all the time about the coming of the Lord. Thief in the Night, remember that old movie? They made songs about the coming of the Lord. They want you to know that it might happen anytime. They wrote songs, they sang about it, they preached about it. And they knew that you had to keep that in your mind, because otherwise you would lose it. And one of the things I love is in Isaiah, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, He will swallow up death for all time. When He comes, Paul wrote and he said, the last enemy that is to be defeated by Jesus is none other than death itself. The day is going to come when death itself will be defeated. Let me talk a little bit about that in relation to His coming. He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces. He will remove the reproach of His people from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that He might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. Hey, come on, let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Buddy. Come on. You know, one of the things from the very beginning, death was one of those issues that people didn't like to talk about. A lot like today. I've done countless funerals at this point in my life after 30-some years. And I've learned this, that a lot of times people don't want to talk about it or contemplate on it, but it is there. And in the Old Testament, it was one of those things that they were afraid of. In fact, Hebrews 2 and 15 says that, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. There's something about death that brought fear to the Old Testament saints. Not only the saints, but just the world. They always were looking over their shoulder at this thing called death. Because life proceeds very quickly and it goes on. Death was a strange thing to the prophets. I'm just going to tell the book of Job. One day the Bible says Job was walking through the forest. And Job came upon a tree that had fallen. And all that was left was a stump. And when Job looked at it, the Bible says he saw the sprigs, the green sprigs coming up out of that stump. And in the book of Job 14, it says he begins to think about that. And he says, you mean there's life after death for a tree? What about us? He said, if life continues for a tree after it dies, and there's a resurrection or there's a life after it, he said, what about us? And then in a later, one of the other chapters, Job said this, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he said, and I know on the last day I will stand on the earth and I will see him with my own eyes. He got a revelation from walking in the woods. How many know God can teach you anywhere? He got a revelation from walking in the woods that if a tree can have an afterlife, then I can have an afterlife. That means this. That means every one of us is going to live forever. Whether you're saved or you're lost, you're going to live forever. It just depends on which place you're going. You are made forever. You're going to live forever. Death is not something that ends your total existence. Death is something that simply has a transition into another realm. And you're made to live forever. This old body we live in will not. But Job understood that life never ends. And I understand what I'm telling you. It will never end. No matter who you are, whether you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian, your life will never end. You remember when I had that rope that day and I tied just a little bit of red right up here to the handle. Then we had the rope go all the way out there and all the way back and back. And we told you that this little red part it symbolizes your life on earth. And the rest of it is the rest of your life everywhere else. Because you're going to live forever. You're going to exist forever somewhere. And so some of you need an eternal address change. Come on, somebody. How many of you can put in an address change this morning? You can go from hell to heaven this morning. You can change. And listen, and some of you can help people change their eternal address next week. And all it's going to cost you is get them in your boat and bring them here next week. And we'll let the Lord do, come on, we'll let the Lord do the rest. So you need that. You need to be, and so Job knew that. Job knew that there would be an everlasting life. Now, in the Old Testament, when you begin to read it then, they all had a revelation of the resurrection. They all knew that God was coming back to earth, or God was coming to earth, and in that there would be a resurrection. There would be when he came back, there would be an end to death, and there'd be a resurrection. Moses knew about it. Abraham knew about it. Job knew about it. David knew about it. You read about all this. In John chapter 11, Jesus comes on the scene and he's dealing with death. And you need to know that because when we live in a body that is decaying. Every day the old man is decaying. But the new man deep inside of us is renewed. There's a part of you that will never die. There's a part of you that is not growing older. It says if our earthly tabernacle or body is dissolved, we have a new one in heaven. How many glad you got a new body waiting on you? How many would like to go ahead and have a little bit of it right now? If I could just borrow it for a little while. But there's a new body waiting on you because there's something inside of you that's eternal that's just going to be taken out of this and put in a new model. Come on, somebody. There's a new model waiting for you somewhere because the old model is kind of getting a little bit old. And Jesus comes on the scene, and I like it because he's dealing with death here with Mary and Martha. In John chapter 11, look at verse 21. Martha then said to Jesus, if you hadn't been late to church, my brother would still be alive. If you hadn't been late, he'd still be alive. Now, I want you to get this, because I want to fill this in. If you hadn't been late, and then verse 1 says, everybody say the word died, would you? See, had you not been late, he would not have died. Even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Now, and look at verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Well, that's not new stuff. They all knew that. Job had that revelation. And I didn't go take the time to go through. Moses had it. Abraham had it. David had it. They all knew there would be a resurrection. They all knew that. They all understood that. The prophets had prophesied of it. He said, thy brother shall rise again. Now, I want you to get, Jesus is about to share something that the Old Testament never knew about. And so Martha's sitting there, Mary's sitting there, and they're saying, Jesus, if you'd not been late to church, my brother would still be alive and he would not have died. And Jesus looks at her and says, your brother shall rise again. What he's saying to her is, stop kissing the picture. Stop moaning every day of your life. Let me tell you something. He says, I want you to know your brother really is going to live again. He's not gone off somewhere to where he's forever gone. He's in your future. He's not in your past. You will see him eyeball to eyeball one more day. Your brother shall live again. Now listen. Now that's not a new revelation. Verse 24, Martha is trying to argue and try to teach him. Listen to what she said. Martha said, I know that. I've been to Sunday school. I know that. I understand. I've been to Bible class. I know that my brother shall live again. She's trying to teach the teacher here. How many teachers do we have in here? You ever had your kids? I remember Jennifer came home and I was showing. I was an electrical engineer growing up. That's what I was going through Virginia Tech on. I remember she brought home a math problem. And I showed her. I said, Jennifer, now if you do it this way. No, no, no. My teacher said do it this way. Come on, somebody. All right, we'll do it right that way, all right? Martha's arguing, and she didn't need to, he said, yeah, you didn't need to burst into the funeral to tell me something I already knew. You didn't need to burst in and make a scene in the funeral. All you're going to tell me is something I already know. Now, watch this. And the problem is, one thing all the saints knew were the righteous would live again. There would be a resurrection. The problem was, listen to this. The problem was not if, but when. So she said, I know all eschatology. I know all that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen on the last. I know I read it. On the last day of the whole shebang, God is going to come back and everybody's going to be raised. I know that. Now, here is the new stuff. And Jesus said to her, listen to this. I love this. He said, Mary, the resurrection is not a date. The resurrection is a man. Come on, somebody. The resurrection is not a day. It's not when it's going to happen. It's the resurrection. Listen, she wasn't wrong, eschatology. How many know you can be right and still be wrong? And he said, yeah, you're right on timing, but what you missed is the big point. You missed the point was a resurrection is some magical thing happening. The resurrection is me. I am the resurrection and the life. See, that's what's a good thing about salvation. Salvation isn't about you being bad and then being good. Salvation is about you meeting the Prince of Life. Salvation means you meet the one that took your place, that took all your sins upon you, that though he were righteous, he became filthy for us, that we might become righteousness of God. So salvation is when you meet Jesus Christ and he becomes your Lord. So he stands before Martha and Mary and he says, you guys got all your dates and all that stuff. You worked all your things. But let me tell you a little secret. I am the resurrection and the life. He says, and he who believes in me, even though he dies, he's going to live. And so one of the keys of life is this. Always understanding that Jesus defeated death by himself. I am the resurrection. I am the life, he said. And he said this, show me where you laid him. And I'll show you who I am. Okay, come out, Jesus. Brought him out to Lazarus. He says, now watch this. You're bringing the resurrection out to where Lazarus had died. Listen, the day is coming when the sky is going to part and the resurrection is going to come back to planet Earth. And every time I do a funeral, the happiest I love is when we leave the funeral home and we go to the gravesite, because I said, one day this will be the most exciting place on planet Earth. Come on, somebody. I said, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Because when he comes back, he's not just coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back as the resurrection and the life. And he came out to Lazarus' tomb. Come on, give him a good clap off. You're going to do. Come on. He came. He comes out to Lazarus' tombs and he said, now, Mary, Martha, I got to say Lazarus, because if I just say, come out, every dead thing on the planet is going to come on up out of it. So he said, Lazarus, come out. You know why? Because he's the resurrection and the life. Aren't you glad in heaven we'll be around him and seeing him? Because he is our life. He's our light. There's no sun or moon or star. And the Bible says he is the light of the new existence that we're going to live in. You know why? Because he's going to be our life source. He's going to be what contains us. Listen, on and on and on. And so what this, if he can call a man out of the tombs, if he can call a man that's been dead for 3 days, he can call your backslidden friend back to the Lord next Sunday morning. He can call him out of the gay bar. He can call him out of somebody's bed. He can call him out of the clubs. He can call them and bring them back to life. Come on, somebody say amen this morning. He can do it for you. Now, Jesus said, not only can I raise somebody else, he said, I can raise myself. Come on. I have this power from the Lord, from my Father. I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to raise it back up. Let me tell you how powerful he is. One day he's coming, and the Bible says out of the city of Nain, there came a widow with her only son that had died. And much like today, you're going down Flannery Road, you're going down the interstate, or you're going down Florida Boulevard, and you see a policeman coming, and there's a hearse then behind these, you know, these Cadillacs, and you know it's a funeral procession. What do you have to do? You have to pull over, right? You got to pull over, get out of the way. You know why? Because a funeral has the right of way, legally. And so what happens is this. When in that day, the same thing occurred. The funeral had their right of way. And out of the city of Nain is coming this widow woman, and she's got her only son that had died, and it's a funeral procession, and they're taking the son to bury him. And here comes Jesus. When you read where he came from, he's coming in the opposite direction. And you know as well as we do, then you need to get out of the way, because they have right of way. Oh, I forgot to tell you. In the Old Testament, there was one procession that had rights over any other procession, even over a funeral procession, and that was a wedding procession. And here comes the bridegroom with the bride. Come on, somebody. And now here comes the procession of life, the resurrection and the life, and this way is coming the procession of death. And you know what? It's a funeral procession. It has a right of way over every other procession except a wedding procession. And Jesus comes, never wavers, never gets over, stops the funeral procession. Comes over, looks at the woman and says, woman, weep not. Why not? Your husband's dead. Now your only son's dead. There's no social security. You're on your own. Why not weep? Because life is about to swallow up death. Come on, somebody. Listen, it's a picture of what's going to happen one day. Your little eyeballs is going to see it, because life is going to swallow up death one day. It will be brought to pass in your life. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? It's going to happen in our lives one day. When he comes back, he's coming back as the life and the resurrection. Come on, somebody say amen. Give him a good clap offering in. Anybody, I forgot to bring one. Anybody happen to have a watermelon seed in your pocket? Anybody? Does anybody have a watermelon seed? Anybody got a watermelon seed? No. I was just on an outside chance. Maybe. All right. Let's pretend I got a watermelon seed right here. All of you have eaten watermelons. You got a watermelon seed about that big. Let's talk to that watermelon seed. Let's tell that watermelon seed its future. Would you tell him what he's going to look like one day? Tell him what he's going to look like. How long is his vine going to be? Long, be long, 5, 2, 3 feet, 4 feet. How big is his leaves going to be? How big is the fruit going to be on his vine? How much water? 4 pounds? 3 pounds? 50 pounds. I never got 50, but I. Now think about this. How many believe you'd be hard pressed for that little watermelon seed to believe you? I'm gonna be what? I'm gonna do what? I'm gonna look like what? I'm dark. I'm black. I'm like heart shaped kind of. I'm gonna be how big? I'm gonna produce what? There's gonna be what on me? I'm gonna be how long? I'm gonna have how much fruit? Yep. Now look at yourself. Let me tell you that what you are right now is not what you're going to be. And if I tried to convince you of what you're going to be, it'd be hard-pressed for you to believe what you're going to be. I'm 39 feet tall inside. Come on, somebody. I'm long. I'm big. It'd be hard. Look what Paul wrote. He said this. But some will say, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? You fool. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Now, you got to get that, because a hybrid, what happens to a seed, when a seed falls down into the ground, the life is on the inside. What you're looking at is not the real, what you see in a watermelon seed is not the real life. That's just the casing. The real life is deep on the inside. And until that seed is put into the ground, and then moisture begins to attack it and breaks down that casing and gets inside that casing to the life that's hidden on the inside, then that life on the inside gets a hold of that moisture and it begins to take off and grows and bust that outer casing, and then it becomes what it was meant to be. Then it can become a vine with leaves and 30, 40-pound watermelons on top. I'm going to tell you. And so what happens, he says, unless it dies, it doesn't come. Now watch this. Go to the next scripture. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain perhaps of wheat or watermelon or something else. Go to the next scripture. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and each of the seeds its body of its own. Keep going. All flesh is not the same, but there is one of man, another of beasts, one of birds, another of fish. There are heavenly bodies, earthly bodies. Glory of heavenly is not as one. The glory of the earth is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars, and stars differ from glory to glory. And so also is the resurrection from the dead. Can I tell you, when he comes as a resurrection, we're going to all be raised from the dead. And the Bible says what we were planted is nothing like what we're going to look like. What we are going to be like is nothing that went down. Let's say, look at somebody and say, I'm coming up. Would you say, somebody, I'm coming up? And I'm going to be better looking than when I went down. Come on, I'm going to be different. I'm going to look better. It says, there is a resurrection. It is a sown a perishable body, but it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, it's sown in weakness, and it's raised in power. Can I tell you, in the resurrection, there's going to come just unbelievable what the Lord's going to do in our lives. It's going to be totally different. It'll be like the watermelon seed. Now, Paul comes and he says, now this is old stuff. He said, really, this is old stuff. This is what I've been telling you. This is old stuff. And then he comes and says, but let me tell you something new. He said, let me tell you something new that you didn't read about, that Abraham didn't know about, David didn't know about, Isaiah didn't, Job didn't know about it. They all got the revelation there's going to be a resurrection one day. There's going to be life after death. They all got that. But notice what he says in 15. Look at the, go on the next one. Just keep going to 1550. Go to 1550 for me. There we go. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you everybody say the word mystery. The word mystery in the Greek is mysterion. It literally means shut your mouth. Everybody say mysterion. Next time you're in one of those heated arguments, you just say mysterion. It means God. God shut his mouth about this. It means God did not speak about it. He shut his mouth. He said, let me show you something God shut his mouth about. Let me tell you something. He never whispered to Abraham. He never whispered to David or Daniel. He never whispered this to anybody. Paul said, but I have been given a mystery, a mysterion. It means an apocalypse, a revelation. He says, something God never spoke about before. But now he spoke to me. And here's what he said. He said, what's this? What's this? Go back to 50. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Now, I told you we got that in our nursery. You know, I did put that in a nursery. But it's reality, for there is a generation that's coming. There's a generation that's coming of all these watermelons, seeds, that they don't have to go in the ground and die. They're going to be right up on the top and poof. 5 feet long vines, leaves everywhere, 25-foot watermelons. Said there's coming a generation that does not have to be, there's a coming a group of kernels that doesn't have to go through the death process to receive the resurrection. Why is that? Because the resurrection and the life is coming back. And when he comes back, then all that's dead shall live. And then he had that little, he says, he that liveth shall never die. It happened in the Old Testament. There was a picture, but nobody understood it. Enoch was walking one day, and the Bible says God walked with him. And then it just says this little phrase, and he was not, because God took him. He just bypassed. He didn't have a heart attack. He didn't have cancer. He didn't go the way of the grave. God just took him. It could be our generation. We could be going home on our way to eat somewhere this afternoon. And the next thing you know, poof, 5 feet vines, leaves all over, watermelons out there. We are changed in the twinkling of an eye. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good clap off. Come on. New stuff. All of us is not going to die. What it says in 52, listen to this. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Everybody twinkle your eye. Will you just twinkle your eye one time? That means the time it takes you to rub your eyeball, time it takes to coat your eyeball with some blink. That's what it literally means, to blink. 1/100,000th of a second. You're going to be changed. There's going to be a generation that experiences. And I don't know about you. Why not us? Come on, somebody. It's going to happen. Can you imagine when we're in our lifeboat and we look back on earth and realize those that we could have brought with us, we didn't bring with us. I'm going to tell you, I told you this, what will make your heavens to heavens is when people come and you realize it. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Let me go one more. Musicians, I want you guys to come on up. Musicians, would you come? In 1 John 3, John says it this way. How great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. We don't know how great that is, but it's going to come. Now it's a derogatory term. The day is going to come when it will be the honor above all honors to be called the children of God. The universe will know that there's a God. The universe will bow before him one way or the other. And we that are his will be called the children. It will be an honor of honors. It says, and such we are. For this reason the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know him. What's this? Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We just little bitty watermelon seeds. That's all we are now. We look like ugly little plain little watermelon seeds. But we know that when he appears, the resurrection, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Let me pull one last picture out of the Old Testament. Moses was leading millions of people out of Egypt into Israel. The Bible says one day God called him up and he has the Ten Commandments. But another day God is speaking to Moses, and Moses says, God, I want to see you. God, I want to see you. And the Bible says he said, all right. And he took him and he put him in the rock, the cleft of the rock. Remember that story? They put him in the cleft of the rock. See, because the rock is Jesus. The only way you'll ever see God is in Jesus. Till you get all wrapped up, tied up, take it all up with you, you'll never see God. And he gets in the cleft of the rock, and the Bible says that God had his goodness passed before him, and he saw God. What he didn't know was this. You cannot see God and not be changed. When you see him, you become like him. In the Greek, it says this, the pigments of his skin began to glow, and out of it began to be shooting rays of light. Because that's what God looked like. And Moses became like God. When he came down, he didn't know he'd become like God. He came walking down the mountain to see the people, and the Bible says the first person he saw ran away from him. He ran, and then the second people ran away from him. And then the third one. And finally, Aaron came and says, "Brother, what happened to you? You're glowing. Out of you is shooting these rays of light." And I can imagine Moses' heart. That's what God looked like. When we see him, we shall be like him. And so the Bible says he had to put a veil. He had to put a veil over his face. Every time he had to wear a veil because he looked like God. Let me tell you the day. The day comes when the clouds part and Jesus comes. And the resurrection, guess what we're going to look like? We shall be like, we shall see him and we shall be like him because we'll see him one day. Everybody say amen. Would you say that? Hey, stand up this morning. The good thing is this, behold, he's coming. Not just quickly and all suddenly, but he's coming. I want you to, I asked Nick and them, they would sing this song. I want you to get ready. I want you to listen to the gospel story one time. Sing it with us, and let's sing it together. Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
One day they led him.
Sing it with us. Come on.
Calvary's mountain, oh, glorious day.
One night he called all of his disciples together. He said, "I'm about to go." He said, "My work on earth is done, and I'm about to go the way my Father has asked." He said, "You don't understand now, but you'll understand later." He said, "I'm about to be crucified. I'm about to give my life. You don't understand. The world will rejoice and you'll sorrow, but 3 days later you're going to rejoice and the world will be afraid and scared." But he said, "Before I do that, I want to have a meal with you." He had Passover, and then when they finished Passover, he said, "I want to institute a new meal. I want to institute something that I want you to do on a regular basis throughout your life. And I wanted to do it. I want you to remember me. Remember," and he said this, he said, "but I'm going to one day, it's the last time I'm going to eat it with you on earth. But," he said, "there will be a day when I eat it with you afresh in the kingdom of God." He said, "we're going to have a meal together." He said, "We're going to do this together. And what we're doing right now, we're doing it with the presence of the Lord by His Spirit. But the day is coming when we're going to do it in His presence. You're going to have a communion that's going to be beyond any communion you've ever experienced in your life." But he said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Remember." And one of the remembrances I want to do is because what he did, he died, and his death was not an end. It was only his resurrection occurred 3 days later. And it means that because he's alive, we shall live forevermore. And this morning, Father, as we take this communion, we remember you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all you mean to us. You're not just a portion of our life, you're our life. And Lord, today I thank you for waking, Lord, open our eyes that we can arouse ourselves and be on the alert and not be weighted down with the things of this life, but always be ready for your coming. Looking forward to the day that we eat this with you afresh and new. We love you. Jesus, I want everybody to do this real quickly. Come and get, at all there's tables in the back, tables in the front. Come and get the juice and come and get the piece of bread. Would you do that this morning? Come on and get you a piece of bread and a piece of juice. And just hold it until we pray over it. Come on, do that real quick. All right, everybody just step out in the aisle. Go ahead, go step out in the aisle. Come on, come to the tables and go ahead and get your a piece of bread and a glass of juice. Go ahead and just hold it, would you? Come on. Jesus. we love you, Jesus, because you first loved us. Lord, this morning we just come in a humbleness of heart for the love, for the great love that you loved us with. Lord, we never deserved it. Who are we? Who are we, Lord, that you would do such amazing things? Who are we that you would have such a great plan of all the plans that your command chose to die for us? Lord, it's beyond our comprehension that you would suffer and die for us. That the God who created us become the object of ridicule, and you would take our sin upon you. How loving you are to love us enough to want us. You know, the other night I took Mom and Dad to go and see the movie we took the church to. I can't remember the name of it right now. October Baby. And I remember it's a story of a young girl who had survived an abortion. And when she goes back, she had a. When she realized she had gone through that, she wondered why her mom didn't want her. And she goes on a quest to find her birth mom. And when she finds her, the birth mom won't own up to it. And I remember there was a phrase that she calls home. She says, "I found my mom, and she still doesn't want me." And at the end of the movie, when her adopted parents are letting her go to college, she hugs him the last time, and she said these words. She says, "Thank you for wanting me." Aren't you glad that God wanted us? That we are all adopted into the family of God? You know, one of the keys, God could have said he didn't want us, but he didn't. And when Jesus came to earth, living, he loved us. Living, he called us back. Living, he wanted us. Could you just kind of whisper a thank you to God for wanting you? God, thank you for wanting us this morning. Thank you for wanting me. Thank you that you could have thrown me away, but you didn't. You wanted me. Thank you, Jesus, for caring for me. Thank you for wanting me. Well, Lord, when no one else cared, you cared. Lord, I could have been anywhere today, but Lord, I'm in a place thanking you for wanting me. Thank you for wanting me, Lord. Thank you. He took bread that night, and he said, I want you to take the bread. This is my body. And it's going to be beaten. It's going to be marked up. It's going to be hit with a cat of nine tails. It's going to be splintered with thorns. It's going to have nails driven through it. I'm giving my body up for you. I'm giving it up. When the rubber meets the road, it's when he was in the garden, he said, "Lord, there be some other way." But of all the plans at his command, he chose to die for us. Not my will, but thine be done. He loved us so much, he loved us to the end. The Bible says he loved us with his life. So this morning, Lord, as we take this bread, I want you to take the piece of bread, and I want you to break it before you partake of it. I want you to break it because it symbolizes that his body, he just didn't go through a little something. He literally was disfigured. Isaiah says he did not even have the appearance of a man when it was all said and done. He'd been whipped and been beaten and been punched, and his beard had been pulled out, and he'd been slapped and spit on, and on and on and on. Isaiah said he did not even, his visage, his visual appearance did not even look like a man any longer. And this morning we thank you for loving us so much, Jesus. Thank you for giving your body. Thank you for laying it down for us. And we give you glory, and we give you thanks as much as we know how. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and partake of the bread this morning. Now the life, the Bible says very plainly, the life is in the blood. And so this morning, Jesus, you not only gave your body, but you gave your very life. Poured your blood out for us. Thank you for giving us your life. Thank you for yielding your life that we might have it. Thank you for doing this, that you have become our resurrection. You have become our life. You have become that which one day, Lord, we know that even if we're not the generation We know that we will one day rise and meet you and see you. We shall stand and see you and not another. You yourself will come back for us. Jesus will come for us. And when you come, Lord, you will speak. And if we are alive, we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be like you, for we shall see you as you are. We cannot wait to the day that this old body of ours is cast off and the life within us is housed in a new form, a new body, a new model that is going to be like yours. And we're going to be fashioned like yours. And we love you, Lord. We tell you that this morning. We stop and pause on this busy life that we live. And we tell you, you're our life and you're our all in all. We love you. And thank you again for what you did for us in Jesus' name. Everybody partake of the blood this morning, would you? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me.
Buried, he carried my sins far.
Maybe never have. And you wouldn't know for sure if Jesus were to come back today whether you'd go to heaven or not. And if you don't know for sure, odds are you're not saved. You're probably not saved. And so what it is this. We're not anything special. Brother Jack this morning, he was a bank robber. There's some of you probably did as worse or you know, as bad or worse. And we're all in that boat. It's not whether how it's not how good and not how bad we are, it's how good he is. And never allow what's wrong with you, listen, to stop you from receiving what's good with him. Never allow what's wrong with you to keep you from receiving what's right with him. And what's right with him is he's perfect. He never made a sin. He never made one error, not one mistake, not one sin. Jesus is perfect. And the incredible offer this morning is to swap lives. The incredible offer is to swap lives. He that knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's the incredible offer of your life. There's not a better offer you'll ever receive in your life. God will come, and on all the things you've done wrong, he will give you his perfectness. And he will take all of your wrongness. How you do that? You do it by just saying, Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, I surrender my life. Doesn't mean you go out and live the way. You know what you do is, what does it cost you? It costs you everything. It costs you your life. You got to give it all up. You got to be willing to surrender everything, your whole life to God. I don't want to do that. You can't do that until you know him, until he's on the inside. You just got to be willing to be made willing. You got to be willing to be made willing. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. When you do that, you say, Lord, I need a new life. I messed this one up. I messed my life up. I want a new life. And what he does this morning, he listens. He hears. You don't have to have some formula that's said correctly. He hears the heart beyond the words. He hears the inner heart beyond all the mixed up words you could ever say with your mouth. He's looking at your heart this morning. If you want to change, he doesn't start from the outside and go in. He starts from deep within you, your life. And he will change. If you want that, y'all need to say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. I want to come to you, Jesus. Say, here's my life. Take it, Lord. And what happens is what he did on the cross becomes yours. What he did at Calvary and the shedding of his blood becomes yours. No formula, no idea. All you have to do is be wanting God to save you. Say, God, save me this morning. Thank you for saving. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for being the sacrifice. Thank you for taking my place. And he will do that in your life this morning. Father, right now, every heart that's desiring that to be done, would you do the miracle of the rebirth in their life? Would you open their lives? Would you come in? Just say that. We just say a little prayer, and you can say it anyway, but we just do this to help you. Say this. Everybody say, we would say, dear Lord, thank you for being perfect. And Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. I want your life. I surrender all. I believe you lived and died, and I believe you're alive again. Would you be my resurrection this morning? Bring me back to life in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Hey, give Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? Hug somebody right now. Would you do that? Hug somebody. The Lord be with you today. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday morning. Come on.